Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, part of the Pull Tab Sports family. This is episode 154, folks. How you doing? How's everybody feeling out there? I got a good theme for this week. I'm going to talk about winning and what I think it means and how it can be important to individuals and communities and why Minnesota has not had enough of winning. And that's just a fact. And it's more on a sports basis, but we'll get back to that. So what happened this week to me? Let me see. I got a security system. This is a good story on many levels because I was basically in charge of nothing when we built our house. I was in charge of like a couple things that were like clearly the guy should be in charge of this. And if you're not in charge of this, it means something's wrong with you. So you have to be in charge of this. And one of those examples was kind of home entertainment, wiring. You know, if you're going to have speakers in the house, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to have cable running into different rooms. So I met with this guy and I don't even know what I told him. I'm sure when they saw me, they like took one look at me and were like, yeah, this guy's getting the black diamond package. He just doesn't know it, but he is. And because I don't know anything, I'll give you an example of this later, but I probably got the nicest thing, right? So we have ADT security out to the house to set things up. And when they come out, they look down in the basement at the box we have set up with all of the cable and things we've ran to the house. And they are so excited about the interior system of whatever we've put in there. Their quote was, "You have the same electronics running into your house as a small Walmart," which doesn't make me feel great about some of the decisions I made when deciding how much to pay this entertainment company. But apparently I'm equipped. If someone wants to resale value, if someone wants to buy this house, they could turn it into a small Walmart. I have everything set up for that. So next time ADT comes, which was this week, they brought like 7 guys. And it was so obvious that they wanted the other guys to see what we had. Like they almost like, it would be like if I was 9 feet tall or, you know, weighed 1,000 pounds. And then all these different salespeople are coming and like looking in the window and supervisors and the supervisor to the supervisor. Yeah, it was, it's not great. But so we get the security system. Everything except for the cameras are coming, which are going to be the dome cameras, which sounds pretty badass. You know, when you're in like a hotel in Las Vegas and you see those little circles, the eye in the sky, we're going to have a couple of those. But having a security system is great just because it's one of the few things you can do on your phone and just feel like change your feeling. Like at the end of the night, like my wife and I have, we've only had the thing for like I guess Wednesday. We've had it for like 4 nights and it's always like, hey, you gonna secure? Yeah, secure the house, please. Arm. Can we arm? Are we prepared to arm? I'm arming. Arming. And then you'll wake up. Oh, disarm. Remember to disarm, honey. I'm disarming now. Disarming now, honey. Gonna disarm before I take the dog outside. And we're disarmed and let the dog out. Yeah, it's great. It's right on your phone. Arm and disarm. Armed, stay. Disarm. It's just great. It's almost like I like putting a blanket on my lap basically 100% of the time when I watch television now. Even in the summer, I think I'll have a blanket in my lap. I think a security system is like an emotional blanket. Just arming, disarming, even heckling. Like, my wife let the dog out this morning. She forgot to disarm. It's like, you know, hey, we're going to have to talk about this. You got to disarm first, then the dog can go out. You can't do it the other way around. There's a way this works. If we're going to do this, we gotta have it working the right way. So yeah, security system, get one. Probably don't need as many wires as I have in the house, but I don't know what else I can build. Maybe I could have drones flying overhead or some sort of missile defense system. I think I'm set up for that as well, which could be good. Last Sunday, I had a Sunday fun day. It wasn't super intentional, but when I do the hockey hair video, I really just spend about 3 days in my basement looking at 3-second clips of a piece of hair that is blowing on the side of someone's face. I mean, it's pretty serial killer-like now that I think about it. And I miss a whole weekend, and I end up sort of having this huge release because when it finally goes into the world and I know that I think it's good and nothing happened bad with the technology and it's on the internet and the sponsor's okay, I'm that's the point where I like hit my hands together, you know, like, let's go get a Moscow mule, you know, let's go on a walk, let's go. So I was in that mode. My son was home, which is always makes it more fun, and we went to Stillwater, which is a wonderful place to go drinking because there's like 25 places. Like White Bear Lake is great, but we probably have like stud places. We might have, I don't know, 5 to 7. It seems like Stillwater has 20 places you could tuck into, and they're all really close to each other. So we did that and ended up watching a Tim Sigler show. He plays country music. I've had a few afternoons with him, including my birthday years ago. Tim drinks about as much as the audience does, which is kind of full entertainment value. It's just he's a skinny man in a white or black t-shirt and jeans and a big cowboy hat. If you play your cards right, at the end of the day, Sigler will be sitting at your table drinking with you as they're putting chairs upside down on the tables. That's when you know you've done something correctly. You've played your hand correctly. So we did that. That would have been probably fine, but then came home, apparently ate some leftovers, steak dinner. There was a pizza ordered. I'm not sure how many meals my son and I had, but it was a lot. We had a lot of meals. I'm not sure the time span was enough to have multiple meals, but there was a lot of eating. There was one cigar. Not sure on the bedtime. One thing I'll say as an empty nester, there is a great luxury of being an empty nester, which is if you've had a little bit too much to drink. And by a little bit, I mean maybe a little bit more than a little bit. And that next morning, you wake up and you're just kind of like, ugh. I mean, you can lay in your bed and you could be like, you know what? I'm laying in this bed till 9:40. I'm laying in this bed till 10 in the morning. I'm laying in this bed till 8:30. Whatever fancies you. But if you're really a pro, what you do is you get up. You put on a tracksuit that looks like Tony Soprano should be wearing it. You go downstairs. You disarm your amazing security system. You let the dog out. You give the dog a treat. And then you lay down on a couch in the parlor room. And you lay low enough that you're under the windows. You almost feel like you're in a car with the seat fully reclined, catching some shut-eye. And so you've woken up, you're out of bed. It's like a pilot. You've had an on-time arrival. You got out of bed in the 8 o'clock hour. You went downstairs. You did something productive. You let the dog out. That's a chore. You gave the dog a treat. That's two chores. you turned off the security system, and then you just lay down again. And you're not sleeping. You're just closing your eyes. Maybe you put your hands on your chest like you're in a casket or something. And maybe you do that for an hour and you wake up slowly. Yeah, that's a good thing about being an empty nester. If you need a few moments to gather yourself, it is there. I'm going to talk about Joe Mama's salsa. We brought Joe Mama's with us to the state tournament expo, and people were losing their mind. We were giving jars of it to people, explaining the fundraising. I mean, we couldn't have enough of the product, right? People, and I told Wayne from Joe Mama's, I'm like, I don't know if we want a lot of jars. Like, you could probably bring one case of, you know, one of each flavor, and we'll just have them on the table and talk about it. I don't think people in St. Paul at the Roy Wilkins Auditorium are going to want to walk around with a jar of salsa all day. But guess what? People at Roy Wilkins Auditorium do want to walk around with a jar of salsa all day because it's Joe Mama's salsa. And it's delicious. It starts tart. It ends with a kick. It is the most unique tasting salsa I've ever had. Five flavors. And Joe Mama's is right on the verge of getting a big deal done. There's a couple studs that are listeners to the podcast named Mark and Pete. And Mark and Pete are scratching their heads. They're thinking, maybe we're going to do a 3,000-piece order with Joe Mama's, but they can't decide if they want to do it or not. But today, they are driving to hockey, and they're listening to this podcast, and a little voice is telling them, you should do the deal. You should do it. Now, that's my voice, but I made it sound little right there. So, yeah, Joe Mama's is about to be doing big things. They got a lot going for them. Look for them at Cub and Hy-Vee, five flavors. Take your mouth on a magic carpet ride. That's Joe Mama's salsa. Spice up your fundraising. So talk about hockey a little bit, since Joe Mama's is the official salsa of hockey. I had beer league myself this week, and I just played horribly. The guy who runs beer league wasn't there, and sometimes when he's not there, I get a little bit excited, not because I don't like him a lot. I do. He makes it all go. But it's almost like having a substitute teacher. It's like, oh, we can do spitballs now. Like, no one's really watching. Warm-up might go 5-7 minutes instead of 3. You know, I don't have the pressure of performing because he's not watching me. But I just played horrible. Like, I'm so bad at beer league that when I get off the bench, when I go onto the bench between shifts, I kind of pay attention to who's sitting next to me, because you slide down and then you jump on the ice, slide down and jump on the ice. And I consider myself the old maid. And so when I see that I've been sitting next to, like, my buddy every shift, I'm like, man, that sucks for him. Every time he gets out there, he's with me. That's like, that's a hardship. You know, that's like, you know, carrying a 45-pound weight. You're on a 5K, but whenever you're with me, you got a 45-pound weight you have to carry. So that is just, and I don't know if it's because I've gotten a little bit better, and so I'm now in situations where I could be successful, and I'm not being successful. So, like, I'm having more opportunities where I'll have a pass and, like, mess it up, or someone will throw me a puck. And I think every time anyone throws me a puck, I kind of stop skating and start reaching. But I don't know what to do about it. I mean, can I go to a hockey camp for adults? Can I go to Brainerd for like 2 weeks, wear full equipment, learn how to do backwards and forwards crossovers, go to like boot camp, 3 practices a week? Maybe they're sliding my food under the door. I think I am what I am. I don't know how to get better, but it was tough, man. When you're on the bench thinking, man, there was a moment where a defenseman kind of let me go in. You know, it's like when you're in a basketball game and there's like a kid that's never played all year and the other team kind of lets him score. Like, that's what I felt like. It was not good. But I don't know what to do about it. You know, the Cougar Cup is this week. Maybe I'll be successful. I am a primetime player. I did score in the Cougar Cup, as you all know. So maybe the Cougar Cup, maybe that'll happen. I hope so. So today's theme, we're going to talk about winning. And we were out with some friends. We went to a state tournament game, basketball. It was not a state tournament game. It was a section final to go to state. We've been to a few basketball games, these kind of friends of friends, kids. I mean, I would consider them friends too, but like we don't see them a ton. Their kid's a stud basketball player. He's broke the scoring record. And so we've watched him play a few times, and this was a big game. And so some friends of ours said, hey, come to the section final. If they win, they go to state. They're the 2 seed. They're playing the 1 seed. We go in there in Hastings, and it was so stressful. Man, I'm a hockey guy. Watching a basketball game when you want the team to win, you know that it's a bunch of seniors. You know how much they want it. You know how much the star player wants it. The families are all sitting by you. The entire game, I was miserable. I just felt so stressed out. It was like an overtime game when the puck's in your net, but it was for like an entire game. And White Bear did win. They won, and they got to go to state. And they got on the court, and it was a total team effort. Everybody did what they needed to do. All the older players came through, and they got the trophy, and they stormed the court, and they were shaking the section final trophy. And then we went to they went to eat and get a drink afterwards at a local bar, Saks, in our town. We got there, all the parents were sitting there. The boys came in, everybody stood up and clapped for them. They sat together. There's one kid, his pre-order after games, he gets a cheeseburger, cheese curds, and 3 Sprites. So when he comes into Saks after a game, that's just sitting, it's just set up for him. Like he's Tony Soprano or LeBron James or maybe LeBron Soprano. But watching this game, I thought, man, is winning important. And not winning all the time, but winning sometimes, right? So just to see these boys, right? They're going to walk together the rest of their lives, right? They went to state. So even when they made it to state, people were saying, when's the last time someone went to state? Oh, it's 23 years ago, 2000. Is the last time. And then they said, when's the last time we won state? And maybe it was 1984 or something, right? So those are things people remember now. It's in the archives. 23 years later, we're talking about that team that went to state the last time because they did something together. They won something together. So after the game, I was joking, kind of. I think I was joking. I kept saying to people, wouldn't it have been great if we did something with our lives? You know, just kind of laughing as we're having a beer, watching these kids come into the restaurant and all this. And now it's a high school section final, you know, whatever. It's not an Olympic gold medal. It's not an Oscar. It's not World War II, right? Like, it's not the biggest victory in the world. But, hey, they're going to state. You know, they came through. At a pinpoint moment when all the pressure was on, they won. And I think for those kids, it's going to change their psyche. So maybe the star player, he didn't know if his buddies were going to come through for him in the end, and he did. Maybe the other players, they didn't know if they had what it takes, and you know, and they came through. You know, maybe the guy who didn't know if he could make free throws, he did. All of them now have this experience where it's gone right. All the things their parents told them came true. All the things they wrote on the corner of their mirror actually happened. And I believe that changes how you walk and operate in your life forever because you've got some wins under your belt. I remember I interviewed Herb Brooks when he was when I was very young. And he was just such a cowboy. He didn't really care what people thought, and he knew what he felt, and he knew what he thought was right, and he really didn't have time for politics at all. And I think a big reason for that is he had success at a young age. He was a winner. He won in college. He won the gold medal, the famous gold medal. So when something like that happens to you, you really have trust in yourself. You feel like you can land the airplane because you've done it before. It changes everything. And I'm gonna do a quick ad read here because this is kind of a theme for the whole episode. I guess I can transition into this. If you want to win with your hair, you should definitely do Duke Cannon. They were all over the hockey hair video. The product they're pushing is called Serious Flow. It's a lightweight mane tamer. If your hair is a weapon or you wish it was, get some Duke Cannon. Get it at Target, DukeCannon.com, CANNON.com. As a matter of fact, they're going to give me a promo code. I got to get that promo code. It probably works now. Try Pull Tab. I think you get 10% off at Duke Cannon. I think that's correct. I'll confirm that next week. But yeah, local company, give money to the military. Just a bunch of good people over at Duke Cannon. I think people know that. I think the brand sounds good. It sounds like a guy. Like Duke Cannon's a guy you want to invite over to your house, right? And that's true about the brand. So get your hair set up. Work harder. Smell better. Duke Cannon. So as I was saying, winning, right? It gets into your body language. You know that you can land the plane. So last night, I go to a Gopher hockey game. Same Gopher hockey game I've been to the year before. It's the Big Ten championship game. Now, keep in mind, the Gophers have won the regular season Big Ten. They were the champions of the league, which means they were the most consistent this year, and they won it. But this game is the tournament championship game. So it feels different. Right? Like, yeah, you won the league, but that was like 40 games spread over 5 months, and you never had the feeling of a big game. You never had the crowd chanting overrated at you. You never had 10,000 people in Mariucci. You know, this is the game that feels like the Super Bowl, even though it's not the biggest tournament, right? The NCAAs are coming next, and the Gophers will have a crack at that. But through the course of my life, growing up in Minnesota, I have seen very, very little wins. I remember jumping off the stage at Our Lady of Grace in eighth grade, listening to AC/DC, I believe, at Our Lady of Grace, when Edina had won the state tournament. They must have won it in 1988 or something like that. They did not win it when I was there. The Twins won it in 87 and 91, the Gopher hockey team in 2002, 2003. I know that the Lynx won a bunch of titles. I was not following the Lynx, no offense to the Lynx. But really, there's been no winning. You know, White Bear Lake has made it to, they make it to state about every 8 years, and that's cool. Usually I'm there. The basketball thing was cool. So Minnesota is just not won a lot. And I mean the state. I don't mean the Gophers. I mean the state. Duluth has won some, but that's not my team, okay? So I think it gets into your blood. I think you get used to not winning. And you start saying things. I heard the radio announcers last night, well, you know, the Gophers won the regular season title, and that's really the one that you should be most proud of. And, you know, these are both good teams and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, you know, I think it's okay to say you're a little bummed out, like you're 20% pissed off. It was a great hockey game. It was. It was a great hockey game. Tons of skill, amazing moments, great environment. But we still lost. And losing sucks. And you got to be able to say losing sucks. And I one day in my lifetime, I want to see Minnesota become Winnesota. I do. I want us to go on a run like Boston went on, or like Tampa Bay went on, where you got the Lightning and the Buccaneers, and maybe the baseball team win it. You know, Boston was a city of losers. You know, I went to college there. They never won anything. They were like the biggest losers in the world. They were like British people. And now, God, they won a bunch of Super Bowls. They won the Stanley Cup. They won a couple World Series. You go to Boston now, man, it's like, it is like a boom town. It is, you know, people are confident. They got swagger. It's a different, whole different attitude. I would love to see what happens to Minnesota if we turned into Winnesota, if the Wild were to win, if the Vikings, oh my God, can you imagine if the Vikings won the Super Bowl? People would lose their minds. You know, Twins have done it, but it's been ages. You know, Timberwolves, who knows? I would just love to see Minnesota turn into Winnesota, because I think it just changes our demeanor, our psyche, our communities, our culture, our children. I really believe winning matters, you know, and if it's your kid and you're trying to figure out, you know, if they made this team or that team, I mean, it matters if you can have success, if you can be in a tournament photograph where you've won the last game. Winning the last game, it's so rare. And if you can do that, you know, if you can say, hey, here's two people. This is a good dude, you know, had a normal life. Next guy, this is a good dude. He's had a normal life, but he's won the last three games in high stakes environments two or three times in his life. And whatever he does, maybe it was a new business pitch, maybe it was a basketball game, maybe it was a hockey game, he has won the last game. That is something you can trust, something you can rely on as you go through other decisions in your life. Because all the, if you say all the things and you never win the last game, and I don't mean last ever, I mean the last game of the Big Ten tournament was last night. Now, there were only a couple games in that tournament, maybe five for some teams, but it was the last game. It was the moment. And Michigan came through and Minnesota did not. But if you can win that last game, you really can, you can trust that feeling. So all the stuff you tell yourself or your coach told you or mom and dad told you, it all comes true. And if you never win the last game, you start to wonder if all that stuff was just bullshit to begin with. You need to win the last game. Minnesota needs to become Winnesota in my lifetime. I want to see it. It would be good for all of us. The buildings will be taller. The children will be taller. The eyes will be brighter. The teeth will be brighter. Let's somehow turn Minnesota into Winnesota. Another way you can win is Jimmy salad dressing. Hard turn there. I know it was abrupt, hard transition. Look for their Thousand Island dressing. I know St. Patrick's Day just got done, but look for it. It's delicious on a Reuben or a Rachel. You can win St. Patrick's Day. I would call it, you know, it's like a shamrock shake. You can make yourself a Reuben or a Rachel a week after St. Patrick's Day. There's no shame in that. Go to jimmysdressings.com. Look for a recipe. It's usually in the refrigerated section because it's a high-quality product. Minnesota company started by their grandfather, Jimmy's Salad Dressings and Dips. Don't you be messing with my dressing. Hey, so speaking of winning, I'm going to play this. The group we went to the basketball game with told us that songwriter Hardy had won an ACM Music Award for songwriting. And he gives this really interesting speech when he wins it. I want to play this for you.
We make this moment for Hardy. I'm very proud to present the ACM Songwriter of the Year Award to my best buddy, Hardy.
I was not expecting to tell this story tonight, and because I didn't know how full circle this moment was going to be, but I'm going to start the story by saying, if you are a songwriter, I want to tell you, never quit. If you want to chase your dream and never, ever quit. Don't have a plan B, just do it until it happens. And here's why. In 2015, I was playing a songwriter round with a tip jar on the front of the stage. Nobody that played on that stage that night had a hit. We just played original songs and we might've made $10 in tips, but one person wrote quit on a napkin and they put it in that tip jar. And tonight, that quit napkin will be sitting right beside this.
Nashville, I love you. ACMs, I love you. Party out.
So I am not motivated by negativity. I'm not motivated. I'm not a chip on the shoulder guy. But listen to what Hardy says there. Don't quit, right? Never quit. Somebody puts the word quit on a napkin, sticks it in his tip jar, and he says, yeah, I'm going to put that thing right next to the trophy tonight. I finally won it. So he won. He had his moment. And I promise you, nothing gets better after that. His whole life isn't fixed, or he's going to still wake up the next day, probably going to have a hangover. He's going to, you know, think he needs to go to the gym because he's a little bit heavy, and he's got all the same voices in his head that anybody has, right? But he's seen it pay off. He's seen all the things you tell yourself and all the things that people tell you come true because he holds that trophy, right? Trophies and medals and team photos. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think we should actually create more of them in the world. You know, I don't know what I could get a trophy for or a medal, but I would love to have those opportunities. I don't really have them anymore. You know, I could maybe somehow get an Emmy through some secondhand TV deal or something, maybe. But, I mean, I love that story, right? Somebody wrote quit. Somebody just told him to stop. And the fact that he starts his speech, it's just dead silence when he's saying that. And he's just telling everybody, if you're listening to me, don't quit. Do not quit. He's trying to put that napkin in everybody else's tip jar that says, don't quit. I love that. You know, Hardy's wrote a lot of Morgan Wallen songs with him. He's more of a kind of a Kid Rock type guy. I guess his new record's pretty interesting. He's got like something in The Crow. It's like two different albums. One's country and one's hard rock. It's supposed to be very good. Maybe we'll review that on Pull Tab Sports. But I love that story, man, because it's about he was winning. He's going to be a different person. You know, after winning Songwriter of the Year, people are going to look at him different. He's going to look at himself different. It sets you at ease. It changes your body language, man. Win a soda. Please, can we please start winning some games, some big games someday? I'm going to finish with St. Patrick's Day. Just an ode to St. Patrick's Day. I love this holiday. You know, we've been doing this bus with the Minnesotan, and we got about 24 people. We go to, you know, Halftime Rec and try to go to McGovern's or Shamrock's or O'Shaughnessy's. You know, we bounce around in St. Paul, basically. Go to the parade, Bulldog. And, you know, everybody. So here's just a handful of reasons St. Patrick's Day is great. It's in the day, okay? Everything good happens during the day. It's the daytime is so much better. When the sun is on you, it's just harmless. It's just everything feels better. There's nothing, there's no anxiety. There's no shadows. There's no, it doesn't feel, you know, you didn't just order a gluten-free Domino's pizza at 11:15, right? It's just, it's daytime. The sun is on you. You're in plain view. Kelly Green, number two. This color makes everyone look like $1 million. It is a color that we should all wear way more often. Yes, I know I'm from Edina, but I'm telling you, Kelly Green looks like money. All of the best sides of money. It is the best. Kelly Green, get some in your wardrobe. You need it. Buy a jacket that's Kelly Green, a golf shirt that's Kelly Green, a hat that's Kelly Green. We need it. You know, you got bagpipers in every bar. Nothing wrong with a bagpiper. I don't know how you become a bagpiper. That's someone asked that in the group this year. How do you think you become a bagpiper? Is that like your father was a bagpiper? It's like firemen. Well, you know, grandpa was a bagpiper. I'm a bagpiper. You're a bagpiper now, son. I don't know. Is this a hipster thing? Bunch of hipsters. Is this where the band ends up after the band? Maybe. It might be. And then my last reason, my last note on St. Patrick's Day is I think my favorite reason that it's such a great holiday is you will get bumped into, 40 times an hour on St. Patrick's Day. If you go to a bar, you're going to get bumped into, someone's going to push you in the back, bump into you, you know, almost fall on you, step on your foot, you know, and no one cares. Everyone's happy. everyone's rubbing each other's shoulder. No big deal, man. No big deal. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Yep. Because it's sunlight, it's Kelly Green, it's St. Patrick's Day, and everybody is taking care of each other. Now, I'm sure it gets pretty gross, you know, at 10 o'clock if you're in St. Paul, but I'm nowhere near there at that hour. So I love this holiday. I think it's the best parts of the Irish, and I think it's a great tradition. They do drink during the day. I don't think they're going to get into a fight if someone bumps into them, and they look pretty, pretty good in Kelly Green. This has been Sunday Morning Coming Down. Thanks for being on the ride with me. Get it.
Friday after 5, I got here just in time. Went ahead and went a line, for I went and lost my mind. And I ain't been here long, but the bobbers in the pond going up, down, up, down, up, down. Tonight we're gonna raise a whole lot more than cane, cause there's money in the bank, and tomorrow's Saturday. So if they pass that fifth the jack this way, I turn it up, down, up, down, up, down. We're just holding it down here in BFE. Still rolling around with a bar CD. Freebird, 5 minutes deep.